going to call the tax committee to order. I think the tape's on, right? Okay. Good morning, everybody. We want to get started so folks can get to special session. And so Representative Kath is with us. And many of the members who served on finance heard a lot of the public testimony from the surrounding communities. But we're just going to talk about the tax provisions here today with Representative Kath. And I had sent an email to Representative Kath, I don't know if he saw it, that I had asked Mr. Michael, our nonpartisan tax research, on behalf of all the members bipartisanly, to walk through the tax provisions, and in particular to tell the members of the tax committee what's been done in the past for similar situations and what hasn't, so people can understand if we're plowing any new ground here or not. It appears we're not. But I do want to just take a minute before Mr. Michael walks through that to give Representative Kath the opportunity to just briefly tell us about the bill, not the whole every article. But also, I think of interest to a lot of people in the room on both sides of the aisle here is, you know, who are all the people who have been involved in the process? I know this has been a very bipartisan effort with Republicans and Democrats, the governor and leadership. And maybe you can just let us know, as someone who was not part of those negotiations with the governor's office, you can tell members who's all been involved in the process. So welcome, Representative Kath.
Thank you, Madam Chair and committee members. Yes, we have been extensively engaged bipartisanly as well as with the governor's office to make sure that we put together a bill here that, first of all, addresses the needs for flooding as well as tornado, has a mechanism for which to pay for it, as well as then brings the necessary relief to those areas that are impacted. To give you a little background on it, we have met three different occasions. From the House side, we have Representative Anderson and Representative Drazkowski. We had Representative Kath, Representative Fritz, and Representative Carlson from the House side. On the Senate side, Senator Lynch, Senator Cohen, Senator Perry, and Senator Senjum. Want to make sure I don't forget anyone there. I'm trying to go around the table. And then as well, Christy LaForest with the governor's office. So through those conversations, going back and forth, looking at the different issues that we were being confronted with about the disaster, the imminent disaster of the flooding, as well as then the addition of Wadena and the process by which to pay. From there then, you have a House research of a bill summary there. I don't want to go into too much in depth. Just a couple of highlights is the fact that we are paying for the 25% that would be the non-reimbursed portion from FEMA. We are also putting together, being we did not get individual assistance, there is a Quick Start Loan program there to help those individuals who were impacted, as well as some education funding, transportation funding. There are kind of some stopgap situations for anything that is not covered by FEMA in those areas. So definitely some opportunities there to kind of bring that relief. And then on top of that, some flood mitigation dollars. There's some flood mitigation grants as well as some RIM funding in there to make sure that we're looking at ways to prevent this from happening in the future so we do not have to come back into these types of sessions and look at flood relief, but we can actually say we dodged a bullet on the next one.
Thank you. Representative Anderson, did you want to jump in before we hear from Mr. Michael? I know you were part of those negotiations and you serve on the tax committee, so do you want to add anything?
Madam Chair, just to emphasize that we are not going to be doing anything different than what we've done in the past. That was something that was we strived for, so that people would have comfort in coming to a special session knowing that we aren't putting brand new rules in place. This is just what we've done in the past.
Great. Thanks for your work on that. Mr. Michael, if you just want to tell members the tax provisions.
Madam Chair, members of the committee, there are essentially four sections of Article 1 of the bill that relate to tax-related provisions that would be within the jurisdiction of this committee. And I think it's probably important to point out before going through those provisions that the legislature in the past, particularly in 2007, has attempted to make most of the tax results or the tax relief for these sorts of events to be part of general law that occurs automatically, and so it doesn't actually require action by the legislature. In your packets, the Department of Revenue has a nice little flow sheet that describes those provisions, which I'm not going to go through, but the sheet looks like this, and so you can look at that. And essentially, it provides for the current tax year for homestead properties abatements, and for the next tax year a state paid credit, and then there's also authority to grant local option relief. And so that really is the more important element of this that happens automatically and does not require action by the legislature. And so keep that in mind as the background for all of this. But the four provisions that are in the bill are in Article 1, Section 18. On, if you're looking at the bill, it's on page 13, and if you're looking at the summary, it's on page 4. First section is the flood LGA, or flood aid, city aid. And this, again, as Representative Anderson said, is a provision that's been done before. For example, it was done in 2007 and so forth. And essentially, it provides a special one-time aid to this, to a city that suffers more than a 5% loss in their tax base as a result of the disaster. The one thing that's a little bit different in this provision than previously is that that loss is specifically keyed to the assessment reductions that occur as a result of the disaster. One of the things that sort of occurs as a result of this process is that assessors go out and revalue all of the property that's damaged to determine whether or not it meets, you know, essentially how much is how much that market value has been reduced as a result of the disaster. And that reduction that the assessor has, the assessors have estimated, determines whether or not you qualify for this aid or not. In the past, it was actually done just on a purely mathematical basis where, did the tax capacity of the city decline by 5%? If so, they qualified. I think in this environment, the concern is that there may be some properties that are declining in value independently of the reassessment, and so this provision is actually key to the change that the assessors have estimated to determine whether you qualify for that aid. If you qualify for the aid, then it's a simple process of multiplying your average tax rate for the for the prior, for the year before the disaster, times the reduction to determine the amount of state aid you get. Section 19 is, again, a provision that's been provided in previous years, and this relates to Class 3A and 3B property, which is commercial properties, or other kinds of properties that suffer a 50% reduction in their value as a result of the floods. And these properties are allowed essentially to delay when they make their second half 2010 property tax payment. As I expect all of you are aware, those payments were due last Friday on the 15th. For qualifying properties in the disaster area, which are the CI properties in the affected area, and properties that have suffered a 50% loss, they can, without suffering penalties, wait to pay their tax until December 30th. If they don't pay by December 30th, then all of the penalties that were waived kick back in. And to qualify for this, they have to have paid their first half payment on time. And again, that this provision is identical to provisions that have been in previous flood relief bills. The third provision, Section 20, relates to ag homesteads who essentially have had their homes damaged sufficiently so that they have to move off of the farm. This allows them to continue homestead ag treatment for 2 years, provided they essentially the land, if you look on, this is Section 20 on page 14, it's got to be, you have to have abandoned the homestead dwelling. The area has to be, it has to be located in the designated area. Ownership of the property has to stay the same. And the dwelling, that the new dwelling, the place they move to, has to be within 50 miles of the homestead. Section 21 is a provision that is new, but it's sort of a modification in some ways, of, and it relates to this existing law provision, or the general law provision that I was talked about, and this was a recommendation of the Department of Revenue. Under the general law, in order to qualify for the abatements and the credits, property owners are required to apply for it. Section 21 says that in this instance, because in the Department of Revenue's estimation, I believe after consulting with the local officials. They felt that it would be more efficient to just provide these benefits without requiring application for them. And so essentially what Section 21 says is that in this instance, in the case of this flood, you're not going to be required to apply. The assessor will determine whether you qualify, and if the assessor determines that you qualify, you'll get that benefit automatically without applying. So those are the provisions.
Okay. And I also want to thank Representative Fritz, who's here, and Representative Murdoch and Drazkowski, who testified in finance this morning and with their communities and very compelling testimony. But before we go to questions, I do just want to ask, is there anyone from the public who didn't get to testify in finance who wanted to testify on this bill? And it's technically not a bill till it's introduced at 1 o'clock, but we just want to make sure that if there's anybody who didn't get heard this morning, if they'd like to come down. Yes, please. Welcome.
Madam Chair.
Yes, please.
Thank you. Madam Chair, members, Janice Ferris owns a Hammond Bar, and she's got a tax question that's related to the bill, but it's not directly in the bill.
Please.
Thank you very much for your time this morning. Our situation is we've been closed basically since the evening of September 23rd. We have sales and use tax due on Wednesday. We've had no income for 3 weeks. We also are missing some receipts because of the flooding. And I don't see anything in the bill that addresses sales and use tax. So I'm just curious what my conversation will be with the Minnesota Department of Revenue on Wednesday when I can't pay them.
Well, they're here. So if they want to come up and comment, there is nothing in the bill on that. There hasn't been in the past for past disasters. But we can just get a comment here. Since they're with us now. Welcome.
Madam Chair, John Hagan, Director of the Property Tax Division, who's only capable of addressing a sales tax issue, but I will certainly get your name and have somebody be in touch with you. It's a good question. We're all prepared for property tax questions if you have them, but sales tax, not so much.
Okay. We'll see if we can't get you that, and we'll work with Representative Drazkowski today.
Thank you, and I know I'm not alone in that situation either. So.
Thank you.
Thanks for being here.
And Representative Liebling.
Thank you, Madam Chair. I was just going to say that I think that more of us would like to hear what the response is if we could all get that when it comes.
Sure, that'd be great. I guess I will just off the top of my head say that will have a cost provision. The property tax items don't. So I know that the negotiations between the Speaker and the Senate Majority Leader and the Governor and the group who's been in the room, Representative Carlson, Anderson, and Kath, we would have to find money because to let that go would be a cost item, but we can definitely check into that and try to find out more. So, Representative Kath, did you want to comment on that?
Madam Chair, members, we did not discuss that, and it does have a cost to it, and so we'll check into it, see where people are at on it, and see if there's something that should be added in this or if it's something that we come to in January.
Okay. Questions or any other public testimony first before questions? Representative Marquardt, can I just ask you if you think the property tax division is okay with everything that's going on in this bill that's yet to be introduced? Representative Marquardt.
Well, thank you very much, Madam Chair. And I will safe to say, speaking for the division, that yes, I mean, these are provisions that have been in other earlier disaster bills, and they make a lot of sense. And, you know, it's one way in which you can try to alleviate the disaster as much as you can on a lot of the folks who have suffered these floods and tornadoes and so forth. And, you know, of course, in the Red River Valley, we've seen that. And, you know, what's really nice about a day like this, Madam Chair, is that where the Red River Valley has received a lot of help and assistance from people around this table and in the House and the Senate, it's nice to be able to vote in support of something that helps people who have disasters elsewhere. So, yes, the vision is in support of this.
Thank you. I also want to ask Representative Broad and Representative Lanning, who are leads on these committees, their thoughts on the bill, just so we know from a tax perspective where we're at for this afternoon. Representative Broad.
Madam Chair, I appreciate the opportunity and appreciate that you held the committee hearing. I wouldn't anticipate there'll be a significant number or any strong concerns.
Thank you. Representative Lanning. And your community, of course, has dealt with this situation as well. Representative Lanning.
We certainly can empathize with the folks in southeast Minnesota, what they've been going through since we've gone through it many times. And the provisions in this bill, as I understand them, are identical to what has been done in the past, and therefore I'm certainly in support of it.
Thank you. Representative Brown?
Madam Chair, I just wanted to clarify, in terms of the tax proportion, proportions or provisions, excuse me, were what I was speaking to.
Right. Thank you. Representative Coles, question.
Madam Chair, and I'm not sure if this is for Representative Kaff or for Mr. Michael, maybe this was already said, but Representative Garofalo hasn't shut up since he got in, so I've missed some of the testimony. He's been talking in my ear constantly. Do these provisions apply to, and it appears from reading it quickly that they do, do they apply to all of the counties in the two disaster declarations that were issue that we're dealing with here, the one, the 1921, and then the that was the Wadena one, I think, and then the latter flood one?
Mr.
Does this
Michael?
Apply broadly?
Mr. Michael.
Madam Chair, Representative Coles, I should have said that at the outset. No, these just apply, I don't want to get my numbers wrong, but they apply in the flood area, not in the tornado area. It's that they're in Article 1, not Article 2, so...
Madam Chair, for Representative Kaff or Mr. Michael or whomever, what's the thinking behind that? Why aren't we applying it to the earlier? I mean, I know there was a lot of agricultural properties that were damaged and destroyed in the tornadoes, particularly in southern Minnesota. I'm just curious why we're only applying the tax provisions to the flood. Issue and not.
And I think I'll direct that to Kath Anderson and Carlson, who are part of the negotiations. Representative Kath?
Really, the conversations, Madam Chair, centered around the fact of that this piece of legislation was for flood relief. The Wadena section, or Section 2, was added at a later date, and a lot of those tax provisions, some of them just being a timeliness nature, was the fact that that's why we added it in there, to say that it was for flood relief. And so if you're looking at some of those components there, that it, Wadena didn't really fit into the picture of that. So that's where the conversations were at, and I would welcome anybody else who was working on it, or Mr. Michael, to add anything else.
Representative Anderson or Carlson, do you have anything you'd add to that? Representative Anderson.
Thank you, Madam Chair. I'd just like to add that, you know, I think once we get into the regular session, there's a couple of ideas that were brought up that I think would be helpful for us to do. I know Representative Drazkowski had a couple of good ideas that I think will help anybody that has experienced a disaster in the future. We've learned some lessons from what we saw in Moorhead and certainly from this flood, too. So I think hopefully that's something that we can do right off the start when session starts come January.
Thank you. Representative Carlson, addition?
I wouldn't have much to add other than, as I mentioned in the Finance Committee, I think whenever you go through legislation like this, you identify some issues that probably mean that there should be further work. And the decision was made that those kinds of issues would be taken up in January during the regular legislative.
And Mr. Michael, did you want to add? I know Mr. Michael and Senate nonpartisan staff and the governor's staff worked very closely together to come up with the provision. And I should note the Commissioner of Revenue is here as well. So I know his staff worked with Mr. Michael and Senate staff on these provisions. Mr. Michael?
Madam Chair, I think probably the only thing that I could add is that there's sort of a timing issue. The tornado occurred in June, and of course that provided, you know, more significant lead time to the. I mean, when you think about the provisions that are involved here, the second half property tax payment in October is something that's sort of more affected by a September flood than a June tornado. And I think, you know, the other consideration, because of these general law provisions, my guess is that applications were made in the case of the tornado situation, and so the need to waive that may not have made sense at that point. And so there's sort of more just, you know, those sort of minor technical things that some of these new provisions may not have been necessary in the case of the tornado.
Okay, Representative Coles.
Madam Chair, thank you, and I appreciate the further clarification. I guess I just have to think about this some more, but I hope that we don't have farmers, particularly in southern Minnesota, who are losing their homestead exemption because their homestead was destroyed by a tornado, and there were many that were as a result of the tornadoes that happened at the same time that the Wadena tornado happened. And the provision here in Section 20 is providing that extension for, and I think appropriately so, for agricultural homesteads affected by the flooding. I just hope we don't have farmers who are having problems either with the county or the state because we're not including them here. I think that would be incredibly unfortunate.
Thank you. Other questions or comments or public testimony? Anything else? No, if not, we're going to adjourn. Does anybody have anything else? Okay, thanks, everybody. We'll see you at the floor. We're adjourned.